We began to assimilate the new replacements into the company, and we added a third mortar to my section. The battalion ordnance section checked all weapons, and we got new issues for those worn out in the fight for Peleliu. There were some drafted Marines among the new replacements, and also a sprinkling of NCOs who had been in Navy yards and other stateside duty stations. The presence of the NCOs caused some bitterness among a few of the Gloucester and Peleliu veterans, who were by then senior in their squads because of the heavy casualties on Peleliu. The latter wouldn't get promoted with new NCOs entering the company to take our leadership positions. From what I saw, however, the new NCOs were mostly men with numerous years of service, although not combat veterans. They did a good job of assuming their authority while respecting us combat veterans for our experience. The drafted Marines took a good bit of kidding about being handcuffed volunteers from those of us who had enlisted into the Marine Corps. Some of the drafted men insisted vehemently that they were volunteers who had enlisted like most of us, but they were careful to conceal their records and identification because SS, for Selective Service, appeared after the serial number if a man had been drafted. The draftees sometimes had their laugh on us, though. If we griped and complained, they grinned and said, "What you guys bitching about? You asked for it, didn't you?" We just grumbled at them. No one got angry about it. For the most part, the replacements were good men, and the company retained its fighting spirit. Our training picked up in intensity, and rumors began to fly regarding the next blitz, a term commonly used for a campaign. We heard that the 1st Marine Division was to be put into an army to invade the China coast, or Formosa, Taiwan. Many of my buddies feared that we would lose our identity as Marines, and that the Marine Corps would finally be absorbed into the U.S. Army, a fate that has caused anxiety to U.S. Marines of many generations, as history well documents. Our training emphasized street fighting and cooperation with tanks in open country, but we still didn't know the name of our objective. After we were shown maps, without names, of a long, narrow island, we still didn't know. One day, Tom F. Martin, a friend of mine in Company L, who also had been in the V-12 program and was a Peleliu veteran, came excitedly to my tent and showed me a National Geographic map of the Northern Pacific. On it, we saw the same oddly shaped island. Located 325 miles south of the southern tip of the Japanese home island of Kyushu, it was called Okinawa Shima. Its closeness to Japan assured us of one thing beyond any doubt. Whatever else happened, the battle for Okinawa was bound to be bitter and bloody. The Japanese never had sold any island cheaply, and the pattern of the war until then had shown that the battles became more vicious the closer we got to Japan.